It's good to see everyone here this evening. I'm going to look at Exodus chapter 7 as we begin this tonight. Exodus chapter 7. In Exodus chapter 7, of course, Moses is called to be the leader of the people of Israel, and he is told by the Lord to go and to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. And Moses began to make some excuses about it and say, "Lord, I can't talk, so I can't go. And he says, I'll send Aaron to talk for you. And then he made other excuses. And finally, Moses finally said, paraphrasing a little bit, he says, "Lord, just get somebody else to do this." Well, God said, "No, Moses, I want you to do it." But in Exodus chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "So the Lord said to Moses, See, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of this land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people and the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them," and Moses and Aaron did so just as the Lord commanded them, so they did. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. The Bible clearly teaches that the human heart, as we understand it, not the physical human heart we're talking about here, but the spiritual heart, the mind, the thought, the understanding, can be hardened in the hardness of sin, and hardened in a way that will not accept anything from God. If you go over for a moment to Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, it says there, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. But exhort one another while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." So even those who are in Christ, even those who have obeyed the gospel of Christ, can become hardened in sin to the point where their heart becomes hardened against God and they turn away from Him. Now, there's probably no better illustration of the idea of the hardening of the heart in the Bible than Pharaoh himself. And the Bible is very plain about this, and in Exodus chapter 7 in particular, but over several chapters of the book of Exodus. And it, you know, plainly says, first of all, that Pharaoh hardened his heart, and later it says that God hardened his heart. And we'll talk about that in a moment. So if we can just kind of look at the facts of how these things came about, we should be able to understand the problem here. And of course, as we want to understand that we should never get in the position of letting our own heart hardened against God's will and God's way. So what is meant by hardening of the human heart? Well, first of all, we consider the question, can someone said be best answered by considering the results that follow the hardening of the heart. In other words, hardening of the heart, just like repentance is a change of mind leading to a change of action for good, the hardening of the heart goes the other way. Now, Pharaoh became stubborn and rebellious. He was already of that mindset, but he was stubborn, rebellious. He refused to yield to God's demands, even though Moses showed certain signs and wonders to him, that the miracles that God had provided for them. Aaron was his spokesman at first, and so we find that he had the opportunity to hear from God and to know what God wanted him to do. And it came to the point where it says that God finally hardened his heart for him. Now, God didn't do anything to Pharaoh that was against his will. He was just using what was already there. In Exodus chapter 7, in verse 13, it says, "Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoken." So, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. he heard what Moses said. He heard what God wanted him to do. And if he had truly been the kind of man he should have been, he would have listened. He would have let them go. In Exodus chapter 10 and verse 27, it says, "The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart that he would not let them go." So when the plagues began and these things began, he would be all right for a little while. He'd even maybe recant a little bit and say, "Okay, now they can go." Well, then he'd change his mind, harden his heart, and make them stay. Well, God will allow things to happen in our lives, in our hearts, and our minds if we want it to be that way. If you look over in 1 Thessalonians, you'll find that God will allow us to believe a lie and be condemned if that's what we in our heart want to do. Even something that's not true, God will allow us to believe that because we have the opportunity to choose to do right and wrong. So if we harden our heart against the truth of God, he will allow us to believe a lie. It isn't his will, but he allows it, and we will be punished accordingly. But any person who becomes stubborn and rebellious, who will not yield to God's ways and God's demands in his will and in his word, turns against the invitation of the Lord to change and to repent and come to him. And so Pharaoh is given ample opportunity to do that. Moses appeared to him on several occasions, even before the 10 plagues came. And he says, the Lord says he wants you to let the people go. He wouldn't do it. He hardened his heart each time. And of course, there was that started then the 10 plagues, because God was going to bring upon them his responsibility for the fact that he had turned away not only from hearing what God had to say, but he has hardened his heart and increase the burden and the difficulty of the slavery of the people of Israel. Each one of these things that happened made him even more strong in standing against the will of God, until the final one came about and finally he was broken. But how may one's heart become hardened? Well, in the case of Pharaoh, there's basically three distinct factors in it. First one is God. Exodus chapter 7, verse 3, God says, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt." Now, Moses didn't know yet what God was going to do. God was simply telling him, "I've chosen you to be the leader of my people." Like I said before, and if you read through Exodus, you'll find it. Moses made all kinds of excuses. He couldn't talk, and he was not a good man. He was not a man that could lead others, and all of these different excuses that Moses made. And yet each time God says, "No, I've gotten this taken care of for you." In fact, when Moses told God, "I can't speak, so I can't be the one," God asked Moses a question. He said, "Who made your mouth?" In other words, "I made your mouth, and I can make you speak if I want you to speak." Well, God allowed Aaron to speak for him, and so he had no excuse then. The second idea of hardening of the heart is the soothsayers and others that were employed by Pharaoh. Now look, for example, in Exodus chapter 7 and beginning of verse 8. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, 'When Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent.' So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did just so, as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. And Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers and the magicians of Egypt, and they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed as the Lord had said." Now you go over to chapter 8, and after the beginning of the 10 plagues, at about the second or third one there, in chapter 8 and verse 23, as the soothsayers and magicians from Egypt try to redo the things that Moses had done. It says in Exodus 8 and 23, "I will make a difference between my people and your people, and tomorrow it shall be a sign." And when these things were done, the Bible tells us that the magicians of Egypt said to Pharaoh, "This is not possible." In verse 19 of chapter 8, it says, "The magician said to Pharaoh, 'This is the finger of God.' But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said." So finally it came to the point where they could no longer do something similar or something that looked like what Moses was doing. And they said, "This is the finger of God." And Pharaoh himself, of course, in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 15, says, when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them as the Lord had said. So each time when we see this in Pharaoh, there was an understanding that all of these things were from God, but he did not want to come to the conclusion that it was in fact from God. He wanted to hold on to his own power, his own authority. In fact, the pharaohs of Egypt, as later the emperors of Rome, they claimed to be gods themselves, that they were children of the gods that they worshiped, and so they had the same authority and same power. Well, God expressed to Moses the fact that Pharaoh is going to understand eventually that I am God, not him. Now, we look down at again in Exodus chapter 7, verse 2. We have the Lord himself, have God. He made a demand on Pharaoh, which was against his political idea, his financial interest, against his pride as king of the country. It was a hurt to his political pride because he was the leader of the country. He was the king, the ruler, the absolute authority over the nation. And so God wanted him to do something that he couldn't do or wouldn't do if he was going to be the king, at least as he viewed it. It was also against his financial interest because he had thousands, in fact, over a million slaves of the Israelites doing his work for him, and that was going to take away his might and power if they went, if they left, and against his pride as the ruler and the king over his kingdom. And bear in mind at this time that Egypt was the most powerful nation upon the face of the earth at that particular time period. But notice in Exodus chapter 7, verse 2, God said to Moses, "You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of this land." So when Pharaoh refused to listen to the demand that God placed upon him, well, what happened? Well, he brought 10 plagues upon them. And we'll talk about those plagues in a moment. When Pharaoh seemingly repented, which he did almost every time, and said, well, they can go. First time he said, well, they can go, but only the men can go and do a sacrifice. And God would not accept that. And then he said, well, you can go, but only go a little ways. And God said, no, you can't do that. It's either all or nothing. And finally, each time, Pharaoh hardened his heart. But we look at the magicians also. They tried to destroy the force of God's efforts by imitating in whatever way they were, and we don't know exactly what they were truly able to do, or whether it was just an illusion or whatever it was they claimed to be able to do, until they realized finally that their tricks could no longer stand up against God. And again, in Exodus 8 and verse 19, says, "Then, after that particular plague, the magicians said to Pharaoh," it says, "This is the finger of God." In other words, this is God's power, not us. The plague of lice finally is what did it for them. And one of the things about it, that each one of these plagues was not simply something to cause the people of Egypt discomfort or illness or whatever it might have brought. It also was an attack by God upon these idol gods that they worshipped. And so Pharaoh, the Bible says, he studied self-interest rather than justice and duty. In other words, he wanted himself as the one to determine if the Israelites were going or if they were going to stay, if they were going to be put out of the land. But he yielded the lead to his own false pride rather than doing what God wanted. Now, Pharaoh could have said yes, and if he had done that, God probably would have blessed him and his nation. God wasn't going to destroy the Egyptian nation if he had let them go, but he wouldn't. And so it was the hardness of his heart that brought it upon them. But there was a process of this that was at work. Pharaoh knew nothing about the God of heaven, and he made no effort, as far as we know, to find out. You have to understand the culture where he lived, the place where he lived. All of his life, he was the Pharaoh. He was before that, he was going to be. And so he was told all of his life that he himself was a god. And that so he had the power, he had the authority, he had the rule in everything. So he didn't need to know about all the other gods because he himself was God. And of course, you look in throughout Egypt and the pictures from there and see all of these pharaohs that carved huge monuments and images to themselves because they claimed to be gods. But instead, he assumed that he was like all other, or that the true God was like all of these other tribal gods that people worshipped. And the Canaanites worshipped one god and three or four gods, and the Greeks worshipped other gods and all of these others around them. They worshipped multiple tribal gods. And the idea during that time was if your nation went up to battle against another nation, whoever's god was more powerful would give the victory. And that's the attitude and that's the idea that Pharaoh had about it. In Exodus 5 and verse 2, it says, Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should hearken unto his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. Moreover, will I not let Israel go?" So Pharaoh said, "I don't know the Lord. I don't know who he is. And I'm not going to let Israel go." Well, God kept pressing his demands upon him. And the powerlessness of Pharaoh was shown. That Pharaoh, who claimed to be God, a God sitting upon a throne, now understood that there was one more powerful than him. The gods and the magicians and everything else, none of those things could stand up against the true God. It took the death of Pharaoh's firstborn son to finally convince him that he had to do what God said. And even that, after his firstborn son was dead and the people of Israel had left the land, he tried to go and bring them back again. Now, if Pharaoh had considered the facts in the situation, he might have reached the right conclusion. But he let his pride, his arrogance, and his reasoning get in the way of what God wanted him to do. Well, what did happen was a result of his refusal to accept the truth which God revealed to him. Now, sometimes people don't seem to understand the importance of truth in our service to God and our willingness to serve Him and our desire to serve. God expects us to do so in truth. And John chapter 3 says we're to worship in spirit and in truth. So in spirit means according as the Spirit of God revealed in the Word of God, and in truth means according to that truth which is given to us. Well, Pharaoh was expected to do the things that God commanded. And if he didn't, he was going to suffer the consequences. And so we look at that and we think, okay, well, that's Pharaoh. That was approximately 3,500 years ago. And that was that time, and this is now, and everything's different. Well, it's really not that much different now than it always has been. People have always had the kind of attitude that Pharaoh has had during his time. It's nothing new, and as long as the world stands, it's going to continue. So consider for a moment a reason for preserving these particular Old Testament records. We think, and some people have the idea that if it's in the Old Testament, it's not that important because we live under the New. Well, the Bible tells very plainly that these things in the Old Testament are for our benefit. We're to read them and study them. Yes, we live under a different law. We don't live under the law of Moses. We don't live under the patriarchal law, which was before that. But these things are written for a purpose. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, the Bible says there, "The things that were written before time were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope." So why don't we talk about, for example, here the hardness of Pharaoh's heart? But it says here in Romans 15, these things were written for our learning. And we're to learn from these, how God dealt with them, with Pharaoh, how God dealt with, for example, the Israelites when they wandered in the wilderness and when they were faithful or when they were rebellious against him, and how God dealt with them. And so it is written for our learning, and the purpose is that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. The Old Testament is written for a purpose, so we study it and learn it. And obviously, not everyone's going to have a full understanding of it. It is long. It's very difficult sometimes, but the message there is always the same, ultimately. Believe and obey the things of God. Follow His will. Open our heart and minds to follow Him, and God's going to bless us. It was that all the way from the beginning, all the way until right now. So that statement indicates from Romans 15 that the same principles prevail today as they did in Pharaoh's day. If we harden our heart against His will, we're going to suffer the consequences. Now, we might not have 10 plagues brought upon us, but we will suffer the consequences of our choice. There are some demands which God also makes upon people of this time that are requirements that God always expects. He calls on people to hear and believe and to obey the gospel. Now, in Pharaoh's time, God called upon Moses to be a leader of His people, and he was for 40 years through the deliverance from Egypt to the wandering in the wilderness, and finally when they got almost to the time of going into the promised land. Moses was their leader, and God called him to do that. Now, he made excuses at first, but finally God showed him and convinced him that he was going to be that leader. We're called today for the same purpose, to believe and obey the things the Lord's commanded. And Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus gave the great commission. He said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieves shall be condemned." Now, there are many people in the world today that read that, and they read the other commands, similar commands in the New Testament, and they conclude, well, okay, I want to be saved, but I don't think it's necessary to be baptized, or I want to be saved and because I want to go up on a mountaintop and pray, and God will just save me there, or some other way that man has devised for his own salvation. But if you take that view that we can be saved how we want to do, we're doing the same thing that Pharaoh is doing. We're hardening our heart against the will of God. That's very simple what Jesus said. Go, preach the gospel, teach the message to everyone, and do so, and the one that believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Matthew's account of it, he says, go and teach and baptize those who believe in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, according and by their authority and by their power. That's why we do it. And, of course, Jesus said in Mark 16, he says that you'll be saved. And in Matthew, he says, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. So the same command is true now as it was nearly 2,000 years ago when Jesus gave it. And the demand is contrary sometimes to our way of life or the way we as human beings want to live. But we have to change our life to fit His way, not the other way around. Pharaoh wanted God to change his will, and he was stubborn and would not accept it, and hardened his heart against it, and he suffered the consequences of it. So our attitude has to be one that is willing to accept and follow the Lord. If we demand our own way, the result will be, again, the same kind of thing. And in Hebrews 3 and verse 15, the Hebrew writer records the message from the Old Testament about the people of Israel in the wilderness. And very often they they were rebellious and stubborn over the 40 years they were there. And many times God had to punish them for the things they said or the things they did during that period of time. And yet in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15, God over and over made this appeal to them, this invitation to them. Hebrews 3:15 records it. He says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart." In other words, if you'll hear the voice of God, and that was a quote from the Old Testament, when they had rebelled and God wanted them to repent and come back. He says, "Today, if you'll hear his voice," in other words, if you'll open your heart and your mind to believe and follow him, God's going to bless you. "Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart." We have also an example of the other side of that. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Paul talks about those who were living in rebellion against God. They didn't want to do the things God said. Many of them knew what God required of them, but they were rejecting it. They turned away from it. And Paul described them as branded in their own consciences with a hot iron. Now, if you understand our conscience, God gave us that to help us to determine things, whether they are right or wrong. And if our conscience is working properly, if we do wrong, that conscience is going to hurt us. And if we go to the point where we do so much wrong, it no longer bothers us. It's what Paul described here. They're branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron. If we have an area of skin and we burn that over and over again, and it kills the nerve endings there, we don't have any feeling in it. And he says that's the idea, spiritually speaking. So as Pharaoh hardened his heart over and over again, he was beyond feeling and beyond understanding. And we can go to that point also if we're not careful. But also, to overcome that, we have to do something also. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God." You know, we have to take time and put forth the effort. And some translations in that particular passage says, "Give diligence." Study, give diligence, put forth the effort to learn and to understand and to follow God's will. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, he says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Well, how do we grow? We take time to study and to learn and to open our heart and mind, not to close it against God's will, but to follow it. And then, as mentioned before, go and take the message to those who are around us. We do that by setting an example. We do that by studying for ourselves and trying to teach the best that we can whenever we have the opportunity. And when we do so, the Bible tells us that in the book of James, he says, if we do that and bring a soul from that, he'll save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. It's to save a soul that has already been gone, but also it'll cover our sins because we're now doing the will of God that perhaps we weren't doing before. And so Pharaoh had many opportunities to submit to God's will. He brought all of those plagues upon himself and upon his own people. In fact, towards the end of those 10 plagues, the Egyptians themselves were begging Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go, because they knew that this was of God and not of man. But the same basic choice is up to us. We can accept and believe him and be blessed, or we can reject and continue to fight against God and suffer the consequences. Now turn for a moment to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3 and verse 11. Joel, of course, is a prophet of God in the Old Testament. And he says to the people of his time, in Joel chapter 3, beginning at verse 9, he says, "Proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, and let them come near. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around, and cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up into the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the nations, the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle for the harvest is is ripe. Come and go down, for the winepress is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. That's what Joel made the appeal to the people of Israel and the nations around them. God will make the decision. There is the opportunity to serve God and do His will. Don't harden your heart against Him. Do the things God has commanded. And in so doing, you'll be blessed now and forever. The same principle applies to you and me. And the opportunity is now. The opportunity is every day we live. And the invitation is extended whenever we meet so that we have the thought in mind and the opportunity to respond in our minds and our hearts and our lives. Tonight, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as we stand, as we sing.